Hello and welcome to Watch the Throne. What a lovely day. This is episode 19, Waking Up in Reno from 2002. I'm Joey Lewandowski.
And I'm Mike Manzi.
With us today, very special guest. We had her on a recent Cage Club where she was Mad Holly Gore. Will she once again be Mad Holly Gore? It's Holly Gore. Hello, Holly Gore.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me back.
Thank you for being back. Is this your first Charlize?
It is. That's correct.
Oh, welcome to Theron.
Welcome to this. Welcome back to the family. Not that you ever truly leave our hearts, but you're here again. Are you here for the first time? It's just like the very first time.
You know what? This was actually a good one, I think, if this is going to be my first.
Why do you say that? What did you think of Waking Up in Reno before we get into our opinions of it?
I really like Charlize as a character.
That's dancing around. What did you think of the movie?
I liked it, and then I didn't like it, and then I liked it again, and I think at the end, it all kind of wraps up. I mean, I think everybody is nuts, and that's not how real life works, but in 2002, when you could get away with movies like this, that, you know, it definitely has a bow put on it at the end.
Could you get away with this in 2002?
Well, so here's the thing. So this is a movie that has a 13% on Rotten Tomatoes. That I don't know what the budget was, but only made a couple $100,000 at the box office. Uh-huh. This is also, for reference sake, aside from Hollywood Confidential, which is barely a movie, Mike, this is the least logged Charlize Theron movie on Letterboxd.
Oh, wow.
So of all the movies that we watch, in terms of how many people have seen them, this is the second least popular. So this is a movie that nobody has seen. The people who have seen it do not like it. And yet, I kind of love it.
Oh.
I had so much fun watching this movie.
Ooh.
I know it's bad. I know that there are plot holes.
Okay.
I know that the characters do dumb things. But I could not stop smiling and enjoying myself and loving this movie. Charlize is dancing and singing, and Swayze's in this, and Billy Bob Thornton's in this.
She's dancing in one scene.
No. She's dancing in multiple scenes. I wrote it down every time because I love it. She is a delight. I don't know what the filming process of this was like, whether they had fun on set or not, but it looks like they're having fun. And considering how terrible of a streak we've been in with Charlize movies, how bland or bad or whatever, I so enjoyed this movie to the point where I was like, I don't know if my brain is broken, but like, I really, really enjoy this.
This movie is terrible. I hated this movie pretty
Mike,
much.
I don't think we've ever agreed on any movie that we've been on.
It's a Cage Club miracle. This thing broke me in about 10 minutes. Where I just kind of threw up my arms and couldn't believe that this is what we were going with this time around. Look, I'll give it this much. Billy Bob has a great wardrobe, and there's a Truckosaurus at the end.
Robosaurus.
Oh, I'm sorry, Robosaurus. That's the actual name. I'm stuck
in the credits, courtesy of Robosaurus.com, which I did not go to.
Is an actual thing. I didn't know The Simpsons actually parodied that. I should have known better back in the day. But I could get why you got some laughs and probably enjoyed this, but like, I just was like, every laugh I got was because of sheer delirium. Like, I mean, I just could not tolerate this thing. There's just there's no direction. There's basically no plot. The plot is we're going on vacation.
I agree there.
We're going to the monster truck rally in Reno. Has there ever been a plot quite like this in a movie before?
Well, it's a road trip movie. I mean, it's just four friends.
But that's the destination.
I did drive 2 hours upstate once to see the world's largest garden gnome. So don't denounce the power of driving to go see weird things.
And Mike, you're also talking to me, who on my cross-country road trip, where I did like 11,000 miles in 6 weeks, I plotted out so many roadside attractions that like upstate California, where it's like all the crazy shit on the highway that you could possibly see.
Yeah.
Every tourist trap where you can buy stupid knickknacks.
Yeah.
I spent so much money.
You were on your way somewhere. These guys plotted to go. Yeah, but they're No, but they aren't. It's like the only other thing they seek out is a steak eating contest. He won't even stop at the Grand Canyon, for crying out loud. At the end of the movie, they go back at the very end of the movie and they end at the Grand Canyon. But like, the mission is to get to this monster truck rally. Like, it's not that they're sightseeing even along the way or anything. What ends up happening is like, you find out that Swayze is a cuck and Billy Bob's been banging his wife, and now she's going to have that baby.
But she doesn't.
Well, no, and then that doesn't even end up... They commit to nothing in this movie. I was just... It was just infuriating me. I mean, I understand that you're going to come back at me with, like, all these reasons you think it's great and everything, and there's no way I'm going to be able to sort of change your mind or defend my opinion of it to you, but that's perfectly fine. I mean, you know, it's a Bad Batch situation, only reversed.
I don't think it's a great movie. I'm not saying that this is, like, a great movie. I'm just saying I had so much fun watching it. I'm glad that Holly enjoyed it.
I can't understand.
The only thing she said to me while watching the movie was, like, goddamn Billy Bob or something like that. Like, something angry about Billy Bob.
Yes, damn Billy Bob for making this
movie. The dialogue, I think, really, I enjoyed it, whereas when I was on with you guys last, it was for Looking Glass, and that was just painful all around. But some of the conversations between the characters, just, they're enjoyable to listen to.
Dude, we have Charlize once again, to jump off Holly's point, we have Charlize once again as a Southern Belle, and, like, the dialogue early on, like, I fully understand that if this movie turns you off in the first 2 minutes, it's not going to recover. You know, she's mad at Billy Bob and said something about, you know, like, banging me from behind, and then he's like, yeah, because you told me not to look at you, and it's just like everybody's taking each other literally, and I love it. I don't know why.
Everybody in this movie acts like they're 15 years old, and they're in their...
Which is fine.
But they're not 15 years old. It mattered to
me. They're dumb-dums.
Mike, do you have any family in the South, by any chance?
Oh, no, I knew.
And maybe that's why I enjoyed this movie, because sometimes, you know, it's simpler down there, that you marry young, you have your high school sweetheart, you have your friends. Hopefully they're not as shitty as to cheat on you, but, you know, you're thick and thin, even if they get on your nerves.
No, I understand all that. Like, we just reviewed Logan Lucky for Cinemakers, you know, and, like, that nails the Southern aesthetic perfectly, like, as far as, you know, oh, they're not quite as rube as you think they are. They're not like these hill folk. What, all those stereotypes. It basically smashes those stereotypes while having fun with them. And I had a feeling this movie was geared more towards, like, a Southern crowd and everything, but it felt more like they were making fun of them than sort of, like, having fun with them, to me. I don't know. Like, it just felt like this movie would have been better if it was about a bunch of teenagers as opposed to a bunch of adults.
No,
I just couldn't get behind it.
If it was teenagers, I wouldn't have liked it. The reason I like this movie is because I love seeing Charlize and Swayze and Billy Bob Thornton. Like, I like these actors.
Yeah, I love them too. I mean, I can't believe...
I don't think it's better if they're teens. No. I get what you're saying, but, like, I also don't think that they're making fun of these people. I think it's, like Holly's saying, it's a different sort of way of life. They're not the most intelligent people, but not everybody in every movie has to be the smartest people in the room. You know, it's two couples who married young, who are ostensibly, you know, Charlize and Swayze are pretty much in love with each other.
They're trying to have kids.
Yeah. Yeah.
But she's still cheating on him.
In the back of a truck.
But why is she then? Why is she still cheating on him with Billy Bob? Like, all of that made no sense whatsoever. Like, is that just because she's insatiable? Like, she's just like a horn dog?
No, I don't think so. I think because he's
a little of that, and that she's also dumb, and I guess was easily seduced.
But he's his best friend. It seems to me like they're best friends, and, like, again, easily seduced. Like, I don't know. Like, these characters don't have I'm not giving them all a lot of credit. Like, coming out of the gate.
No, you're giving them no credit.
Exactly. They deserve zero credit.
No, but they don't, though, because she is, like, a delight. She is so adorable in this movie.
I don't know. Once you find out she's pregnant and that she's been drinking, like, a case of beer the entire movie up until that point, I was just
I
know, but the movie knew that she was going to be pregnant. Like, what is going on? Like, or did it even? I feel like the movie just decided, like...
Hold on.
Wine coolers don't count. She had, like, a case of beer before those.
Number two, do you have any idea how many people drink before they know they're pregnant? Like, that's not, like, a knock against her. She's, like, she's trying to become pregnant, but she doesn't know that she's pregnant.
But I give it as to me, it just came off, it did not come off well. It came off to me as a knock. Like, the movie knew that she was going to be pregnant, then it had her drinking all this beer. I just did not buy all that.
Can you explain that?
Again,
I don't understand that
criticism.
Well,
and that's what I'm saying. This movie is from 2002, when she's like, oh, we should get married and have midgets as a sideshow and not even consider them as people. you really can't do that these days. So back in 2002, you could drink a whole case of beer while you were waiting to find out if you were pregnant or not, because it was anything goes.
Yeah, I mean, all it was to me was to find out that she was pregnant pregnant at that point and had just been drinking so much, it just to me just rubbed me the wrong way. I understand like she as a character didn't
but, like,
know
why?
She was pregnant.
I don't understand why though. I still don't get why that rubbed you the wrong way.
I don't know. It just did because then she just came across as sort of like careless or I don't know. It just didn't sit well with me.
She's not knowingly pregnant. She doesn't know that she's
I know,
pregnant
but,
and drinking.
Well, to be quite honest, I just had a general problem with all the drinking in this movie because all they do is drink and drive this entire road trip, and to me that was just very off-putting in general. Like I don't know. I just didn't find that to be like amusing.
But
like,
that's again sort of the Southern lifestyle.
I mean, that's okay and that's fine. And I mean, maybe that's a Northern bias I have. Don't drink and drive. But like. Like, I just couldn't find the humor in that at this point. I was already against the movie, and then they had cases of beer strapped to their hood that were just, like, shot by shot, basically seemed to be, like, diminishing as they were consuming the alcohol on the road.
Well, Swayze does say at one point that he's had 140 beers or whatever. Like, Swayze's drinking this, like, everybody's drinking this entire movie, but, like, I don't think it's supposed to be played for humor. I think it's just four friends.
Yeah, it is.
No, not drinking, not the drinking and driving. I think it's, like, four friends.
Dude, they get pulled over by the police, and the cop is like, I didn't even pull you over for the drinking and driving. It was for like the run in the stoplight or the stop sign. And he's like, oh, everyone runs that stop sign. And he's like, just don't run it in front of the cops. And he didn't say anything about like the, he's like, and try not to drink as much and drive. Like,
yeah,
I don't even think
he's a small town Southern thing.
Right. But I'm just saying like that it's supposed to be a joke.
No, but I don't think it's a joke on the drinking and driving. I think it's a joke on the bumbling cops. Like the one cop who's like, hell, I run that stop sign all the time. Like that's the joke in that scene. It's like the cops can't even lay down the hammer. They can't even lay down.
But it's also the laxed attitude about drinking and driving. It's like it's a non-issue that the movie even treats it like it's not even a problem.
But that's the whole thing. It's like they know Billy Bob Thornton because he's the local car dealership. He's on TV. He's like this local celebrity. And so in this town where like he's probably not the most important person in town, but he's like a local celebrity, so they're going to give him the benefit of the doubt. Then you have two cops who are like, and Charlize is like eye flirting with the one, like of course they're going to get off. Like it's not like a big deal that they ran a stop sign. I don't get where all this animosity is coming towards this one scene. Like I thought it was just like
well
sort
no
of like
it's not it's not no but like I said, it's not towards the one scene. It's just about, I mean, I don't want this whole podcast to be about like this one part of the movie or anything like that, but I mean it's just something about the movie was trying to say like, oh, it's funny how much they drink and they're driving while they're drinking and look how much fun they're having and it's fun. And like it just, to me, I was off-putting. Like I did not find that amusing, and it just kept bothering me throughout the entire movie. Like the idea that they were out there on the road drinking and that it was supposed to be played for laughs. So I mean, it's just one out of many aspects of the movie that I didn't like.
The only note I took about that scene, Charlize in sunglasses, man oh man. That's all I wrote about that scene, because I loved her outfit. I loved her look. I loved the fact that like later on that road trip they pull over because she's doing things in this movie that Nicolas Cage does in movies. Like, she's taking her temperature in her ear, just like he's like sprays the Benaca in the truss, and like does all these weird character tics that we've never seen other characters or other actors do in other movies. She is gauging her temperature with an ear thermometer, and is like, I'm at 97.1 degrees, I'm fertile, we need to go over, we need to pull over right now, and what does she say? Farmer Roy has to plant the seed. And it's like this madcap, like, they're caricatures. Like, I think the problem is that, like, you're looking at them like they're, like, grounded in reality. Like, they are heightened goofball dum-dums. All she wants in this world is to have fun and get knocked up and start a family with a husband. That's all she wants. And that's clear because when they pull over, you know, this whole movie is Billy Bob Thornton and Darlene, who is Natasha Richardson, I think, just sitting outside a room or a car where Swayze and Charlize are banging it out, where they're, you know, doing the dirty corn because she wants to get knocked up. Like, that's this whole movie. Like, it's so much of that. And, like, it's supposed to be madcap and over the top because, like, it's crazy. Like, the fact that there's people walking by the car looking in the window, like, stopping and looking in as they're, like, doing it in the car is hilarious. It doesn't make sense. Like, it's not grounded in reality, but it's super funny.
I mean, I didn't expect this movie to be grounded in reality by any means like that, but, I mean, during that scene, like, now they have to drive around in the sex car for the rest of the trip and stuff. Like, couldn't they go bang in the bathroom? Like, I understand that's supposed to be funny.
Well, no, because they make a joke about it, too.
That's why I like it, because everybody is so delightfully dumb.
Yeah.
You have Billy Bob Thornton that enters a steak-eating contest to win $50 and eats himself sick.
Yeah, why is that in the movie? Like, it, I mean, that is the only roadside attraction they do. I could understand if this was like a proper road trip movie where they were stopping at all these stops and things in the Grand Canyon, and maybe they were staying there camping overnight and get lost in the Grand Canyon and stuff and meet a shot.
But
you
that's
know,
not
like,
this movie.
But, well, that's too bad.
Because like, you have to think, like,
what is this
Reno,
movie? I don't understand what's going on in this.
They get to Reno 35 minutes in. Like, there's just a little bit of build up to get to Reno. Then they're in Reno for an hour. Like,
and then this whole Tony Orlando thing comes into play, like, out of nowhere. Like, I don't know.
Yeah,
it just
that,
kept
that
throwing stuff
weird
at me that I just... Like, why do they get to Reno so fast? Like, what are they doing? Why isn't this movie just, let's go renew our vows in Reno? What is with this monster truck rally thing even? It all feels like that's not even the purpose of the film. It's such an afterthought, too, where they're wrapping it up at the truck rally and like, everything's fine after they have this huge blowout fight with, like, finding out people are sleeping with each other's husbands and pregnant with each other's babies and shit is hitting the fan. Like, I think that's another issue with me is, like, sure, if they were going to keep this light and fun and sort of, you know, maybe, like, hangover-ish style, but, like, they get into some heavy, serious, dramatic shit into this movie that is entirely uncalled for when it arrives. Like, this is supposed to stay light and funny and breezy, but it really takes, like, a serious turn. And on top of everything else, I just have to throw my arms up one more time.
Like, I do agree that it sort of comes out of nowhere, like, this heavy twist, but I think it works because the character dynamics have been so well established that the two women's relationship is so strong in, like, these little moments where they're talking about, like, they have this, like, shorthand where they're able to understand each other, they're able to communicate with each other, and, like, there's a long-lasting friendship there. And so when it gets heavy and comes out of nowhere, and we find out, in a dumb move, that when Charlize finds out that Swayze can't have kids... but then, like, looks right at Billy Bob, like, uh-oh, like, it must be yours. Like, that's kind of dumb. But, like, it just sort of happened. Like, that's just, I guess, the script, like, hey, we have to keep it, like, 90 minutes. Like, we have to have it happen.
Well, here. She was doing things, like, she can't keep a secret at all. She was doing things the whole movie where, like, do you think Billy Bob would ever cheat on you? Like,
well,
what would you do if
guilty.
Billy Bob ever cheat? I know, but you're trying to keep that secret. Like, you're giving yourself away. Like, oh, man, I don't know.
But that's the whole thing.
Because
she's
dumb. Because every character in this film is dumb.
Exactly. Like,
well, maybe that's the problem. Dumb. Maybe I needed one character that wasn't a fucking moron. Like,
no, but then that one character wouldn't tolerate any of these people.
Well, maybe I needed to be in this movie. I needed someone to relate to. You know what I mean? Like, I needed, like, an audience member in here somewhere. Like, I couldn't just sit back and watch them, like, run amok for some reason. I just couldn't
get there. It's David Koechner at the Bellhop. It 100% is, because he's the one who comes in here.
That was a really nice cameo surprise.
He's wonderful in this movie. He comes in here, talks about how cheap Billy Bob is, you know, basically, like, wishes everybody well, but says, like, you know, as he's essentially you, Mike, like, you know, I wish I could say we hope to see you again, but truthfully, I don't, because you've been terrible.
But like, he shouldn't be acting like that. He's in Reno. Like, where does he think he is? It's not like he's in Shanghai, Beijing, or something. Like, he's not at some high-class casino. He's working in a hole-in-the-wall, too.
No, Reno is the biggest city in the world.
Yeah, I know, but okay, but it's not the win in Vegas or anything. I mean, they're not high rollers, these guys. He has no reason to be insulting to them except for the audience's amusement. Like, I like to see him show up, okay? Whammy. I love this guy, okay? Like, wherever he is, I enjoy him and stuff. But a character like this, I needed more guys like him throughout the movie that they run into. Like, okay, Charlize's dad was a good example, right? Because he's another guy who's like, look at you guys, you're a bunch of idiots, and you're going on a road trip to see a truck eat a car. Like, go ahead, have fun. Like, I needed a couple more people like that perhaps throughout the movie to, that would have been more grounding, Joey. Like, that would have grounded it for me.
The dad is 10 or 15 minutes in, and then, like, 20 minutes later we're in Reno and David Koechner's there. I don't know where you put somebody else in between, because, like, the only scene in between is the steak eating contest.
Well, they go to the motel, don't they? They go to, like, a motel and the pool, and they have, like, all
yeah,
that,
but they don't talk to anybody else. They're just there.
Exactly. They don't talk to anybody.
He brings the shot glass in the pool to give to her. Don't bring glass in your pool.
That was so cute.
It was really cute, but again, it just shows how. And he goes swimming in pants.
Yep, he does go swimming in pants.
No,
and then cramps up and eats too much dessert.
Everybody is just so dumb, and that's why I like it. I don't have to stress about these characters they're going to do what they do, and they're going to live their lives, and they're going to screw it up, obviously.
And nothing bad is going to happen to them.
Like, they all become friends again. Like, yeah. If this was my group of friends, and if somebody, like, you know, slept with whoever I was seeing, it would be a nightmare. There would be just destruction and sadness and words called and friendships ended forever. But these guys, they're just like, nah, this is how life happens, and you just gotta boot and rally and get back on your horse.
Yeah.
And no. It's nice. It's no. A nice escape from thinking about, like, actual stress. Like, if this happened, like, and it was a dramatic film, and everyone was like, oh, no, like, I'm stressed, and you see the divorce, like, I don't want to think about that.
Yeah,
I
just want to
see... No, I don't want to see that either.
Dumb and happy.
Don't get me wrong. I don't want that movie either. Like, I'm not necessarily saying I wanted this to be a drama or anything like that. I just don't abide by this film's choices, I guess. I don't know. I also felt it was, like, kind of... I don't want to say it was, like, felt, like, kind of cheap or anything like that, but, I mean, it just... Like, when they did all that stuff with the roadmap and everything, like, I was just... It felt like a movie that was, like, stuck in the editing bay for a really long time, and they needed to, like, find a way to fit a lot of it together before they got to Reno, and I don't know. I just feel like there was something going on here with the cut and the edit of this movie, and things may have been, like, left out somewhere along the line, and who knows if they cut all the jokes out that I would have liked or whatever. But I don't know, man. I mean, what can I say except that I just am not with this movie. Like, I understand all the reasons you guys are, but for me, like, no, nothing is... I'm not there. I'm just not seeing it. I'm not having it.
It really feels like, and I don't know why, I was able to accept this as, like, and Holly too, I think, for the most part, like, accept this as, like, dumb, stupid fun with no intended consequences, but for some reason, I don't know why, maybe because there were actual, like, because Billy Bob Thornton is, like, a great actor. Like, Swayze's a really good actor. I mean, rest in peace, Patrick Swayze. But, like, and we always...
And Natasha Richardson.
And Natasha Richardson from The Parent Trap, most notably.
And Neeson's wife, right? She was married to Liam Neeson.
Really? It seemed like you went into this movie expecting something more and then just kept finding other reasons to hate it.
I wanted to just have fun and laugh and have a good time, to be quite honest. And
but it doesn't seem like you did, because...
No,
you
wanted
to.
No, I definitely didn't laugh and have fun or a good time watching this, but I was trying to. Like, I definitely laughed at a few things, but I think, like I said earlier, it was more of like an exhausted laugh, like just hoping that something, trying to find something to, I don't even remember what I was laughing at either. I think it was probably Koechner when he showed up.
Can we all agree that we liked Penelope Cruz?
Oh, she's wonderful.
Oh, what was she doing in this movie? No. Forget that. Like, that, no. Like, that's what
no.
I'm talking about. Like, there
no,
can't just be, like, this
wonderful,
incredible pretty woman prostitute in Reno that looks like her. No. What do they dance? Like, oh, my God. Like,
so
to
is,
use her
so this,
as that misunderstanding.
This episode is proving that you hate the South and Reno.
That's not true. Nope.
Yeah, a little bit.
Nope.
A little bit.
No. I just don't like... poorly constructed comedies starring people that
you, sir,
can
are
do
shitting all over Reno.
But she's so
fuck Reno then. I don't care.
Heart. That's why she danced with him and was attracted to him, because she sees the good in him.
No, I yeah,
and
I
Cruz
I
sees
see
a good
that
guy by saying he turns her down.
Nope. No, he would not turn her down. She would
she's
not. What is she
delightful.
Doing there?
She's perfect.
There's no... She doesn't even give a reason why she's trapped in Reno or anything like that. Like, I don't understand what... I almost thought she was invisible and that they were imagining her because they were so stupid or something, but they should have done something where they, like, they pass a mirror and it turns out she's really not that attractive. It's just one of those, like... They think she's,
what?
Like, that attractive looking or something. It's just
no.
Their perception of her. I don't get it, man. I don't know what she was doing there.
So two things. Okay, so number one, the movie sets it up because the first thing that Billy Bob talks to David Koechner about is, like, are hookers free in Nevada? And he goes, no, they're not free. They're legal, but they're not free. So, like, from the jump, we know that there are going to be hookers in this movie, that he's going to go after one.
Right,
like
accepting.
Holly said,
I
know,
accept that.
He tries to hit on her. She detects that he's a sleazeball. She has a great joke. He's like, you know, see this shoe? This is 2 months' rent. And she says something like, you know, you must have really cheap rent.
Which was amazing.
It's amazing. And he goes, that was a really mean thing to say to somebody. And he's just, like, dejected because, like, who gets turned down by a hooker other than the worst person in this movie? And then Patrick Swayze, the heart of gold, the pure innocent one, the one who just loves his wife, just wants to have a kid, who has his heart broken, he shares an innocent but intimate moment with her. And I loved it. I loved it.
And we get to have a very enlightening conversation on what men think lesbians are, because yes. He says he thinks that she's a lesbian, and Patrick Swayze says, no, she was too pretty, and then Billy Bob breaks it down for him. Lesbians can be all types of people.
My God.
This shows how dumb they are.
I'm ready to go.
He's so
I'm done with this episode.
But no, like but the other thing is that, like, if you're Penelope Cruz or someone who looks like her, and you want to be like a hooker in Vegas, say, you go to any bar, and you're one of 5 or 10 girls who look that way. If you go to Reno, you are suddenly the queen of Reno. I totally get why someone like her would want to be there, because, like, she could command top dollar in the second market, as opposed to just being one of many, many girls who are legal prostitutes in Nevada, in Las Vegas. You know what I mean? Like, I don't have a problem with her being there. Like, so you're saying that, like, in, like, lesser podunk towns, like, there can't just be pretty girls there?
No, I'm sure there can be. I'm sure. I think my thing was just, like, why, I don't understand why she popped up there and then, and that it was Penelope Cruz. Everything, it just threw me off. I'm just not going with this movie. I mean, I understand. Again, I'm sounding like a broken fucking record tonight. Like, there's nothing, I don't want to even talk about this movie anymore. Like, I am just
so
done with
it.
Well,
we're going to keep going.
Well, we can if you want. I mean, you're
going to
keep going, but, like, I just,
that I love.
I just hate every moment I had to watch this. It was a nightmare, to be quite honest.
Did you hate Charlize after she and Patrick Swayze have sex in the car, laying upside down in the car to get to, like, to fertilize her egg? Like, on the back seat, like, being asked to pass things forward?
I didn't even notice even notice that.
The
only thing in this movie I noticed was Billy Bob's wardrobe and the Truckosaurus. I liked that part. But,
Robosaurus.
You know, whatever, it's Truckosaurus in my mind. I'm not even going to give it the dignity of calling it by the right name. I'm just done with this episode of this movie.
Joey, what else did you like about this
movie? I liked so many things about this movie. I like that Charlize, when they're in that pool, she's like, wine coolers got me all emotional. Like, they're just having this bonding moment. Like, they're just like a little bit tipsy. They're just like, they're having a heart-to-heart there. I love that. And again, it goes back to like that bubble bath scene when Charlize is in the bubble bath, like just resting, and everybody's just sort of talking. And like, there's like, the guys leave, and Charlize and the woman, the other, Darlene, are just there. And, you know, they're talking about, like, why she can't take bubble baths. And, like, this is, like, this weird intimate moment, like, that her, like, it's just, I guess it's a joke, but it's also kind of, it's weird. But she's like, you know, like, bubble baths, like, get my pooter infected. So, like, I can't take them. But, like,
yeah.
I think that's, like, it's a weird sort of, like, crass joke or weird, I don't know,
bad joke.
But, no, but I think it really proves that there's no boundaries between these women.
They share a lot of tender moments of friendship, whether they're doing each other's makeup, how should I do my hair, like,
exactly.
When she wants to buy wine coolers, her husband tells her no, and then Charlize is like, you know what, I want wine coolers too. Like, throughout the course of the film, they have a lot of moments where one is kind of hesitating and the other backs it up, which is why you're just like, how could you sleep with your best friend's husband? And it's like, oh, just,
Oh, okay, so I have a really serious question then. I actually thought of a question that I have, like, I need an answer to about this movie. Why isn't Billy Bob sleeping with his wife? What answer does she give? Is she just not like to have sex? Like, he feels,
well, no,
it
I
feels
think,
like he's attracted to her and wants
I think,
to
I don't think so. I don't think
But they have
her
a conversation and she, like, rejects him and then, like, goes to, like, a Tony Orlando concert.
Well, I think it's just that, like, there's little moments, and Holly, you can sort of back me up here if I'm right or wrong, or I'm just sort of guessing.
I mean, I get that she feels self-conscious, but not, I didn't get it enough to feel like she wouldn't want to be with her husband. But okay.
I think it's just like a series of little events that show that he just doesn't care about her. That, like, the spark in their relationship is gone. That on this road trip, Charlize is so excited because she's like, we're going to Reno, let's renew our vows. Like, I love you now more than ever. We want to have a kid. Let's do something. And it feels like, you know, she might sense that something is wrong, that maybe Billy Bob's treating her differently or whatever, but it feels like the spark has gone out of there. And I feel like she lacks self-confidence that Charlize tries to, like, keep building up for her, and it's only when, like, she's lost everything that she's free to do anything, to quote Fight Club, that she goes on the shopping spree and does, like, a She's All That makeover, and then, you know, doesn't make out with Tony Orlando, but he sings right to her. And that is, like, all the confidence she needs. Like, she has her aura of self-esteem. Don't walk too close, because can't you see this aura of self-esteem? And, like, it just builds her up, and, like, it's this makeover from this feeling unloved, whether she is unloved or not, feeling unloved woman to, like, I'm in charge of my own destiny. My husband screwed up. I'm going to take advantage of it, but I still love him, and I'm going to take him back, but not before I wreck the car that he loves, I spend a lot of his money, and I get in my digs.
Incredible. You need to write a thesis about this movie.
I genuinely feel that we're 20 movies in, and this is far and away the strongest female relationship we've had in any of her movies. And I think it's not only just good for Charlie's movies, I think it's a great female relationship for any kind of movie, especially for a comedy, especially for a dumb comedy like this. Like, there is a genuine foundation of love and trust and respect, and, like, it's tearing Charlize apart, Lisa, when she's, like, she feels so guilty for sleeping with her best friend's husband, and, you know, she feels, I think, worse for her friend than she does for Patrick Swayze, because she knows that he'll get over it. She feels bad for her friend. Like, there's this, like, deep, deep bond there, which I think is genuinely beautiful, and which I loved in this movie.
Look, I got that they were good friends, and I appreciate the relationship that their characters have in this movie, but I did not by any means, like, absorb it any way near as deeply as you did. I mean, I didn't absorb this movie on any level, I suppose, but, like, look, I will give it that. Those two characters have a great relationship in this movie. You don't see that very often between, you know, two female characters, two women. They do a lot of talking that isn't about, like, you know, their husbands and stuff. Like, they chat about other things. They love their music. They talk about music and stuff, so that's nice and everything, but I don't know, man. Maybe it's just there's no balance for me on the other end either. I don't know. We'll give it that, though. Okay. It's got a point. Maybe I'll raise it half a star for that.
For me, part of the big draw was because they're both fully fleshed out female characters. Mm-hmm. It's not just their wives or, like, you know, the airhead best friend. Like, when she's buying the 5 pregnancy tests and she's like, and you know what? I'll have 3 Butterfingers. Just the fact that, like, she doesn't go for 1, she goes for 3. Yep. It's like a fully formed character choice in that moment. And when she's going through the buffet line, talking to Billy Bob, and just, like, carefully choosing her food, or, like, you know, taking the bite out of the sausage, like, she stands on her own as a character. Like, if you remove the guys from the film, I would watch a road trip movie.
Yes,
about
that's what they should have done.
And Darlene, because they're fun to watch.
They should have ran off on their
own. Because I like Roy too. I mean, you could. So I like the characters. Maybe, like, that's what drew me to it. Like, I didn't care so much about the plot. I just wanted to see them, like, play and interact and have
exactly.
fun with each other.
Yes, and you can't get rid of the guys because the guys bring the conflict. That's
no, well,
the
you could have really the. You could have done, like, a satire of, like, a Thelma and Louise thing where the guys are, like, chasing after them or something, and the girls don't know that the guys are on their tail and stuff, and that's just, like, more of a, you know, you do that road trip comedy thing or something. I would have watched that.
But that's
I would
a
have
different
liked
movie,
that.
Though.
Yeah. The movie I want to see. Well, maybe I'll pitch that as the sequel.
We have an incredible fight in this movie that doesn't really, like, no.
Oh, I thought you meant this episode.
No. I mean, I still can't believe how much you hate this movie, but I'm getting through it.
I can't believe how much you like it, but I'm getting through it, I guess.
There's a fight where after everything hits the fan, Charlize in an amazing pink t-shirt with wolves and a Native American on a horse and, like, this, like, just terrific graphic. I want that shirt so bad. They are all, like, in this fight. They go down the lobby. They're, like, they spill over into the lobby. Charlize is, like, swinging haymakers, missing Billy Bob Thornton. Patrick Swayze, like, bum rushes her, tackles her into the elevator, and she's like, I'm with child, you idiot. Like, she's just in that moment, just, like, so true to it, but, like, her emotions are taking over. And, like, that's, I think, going back to what Holly was saying, that yes, she's pregnant, she probably shouldn't be in these fights, but, like, that's just who she is. Like, she's gonna have a good time. When she gets mad, she's gonna do her thing. But then, like, when something happens, she's like, oh no, like, I shouldn't be doing this. Like, she has a good heart, she's just kind of a dum-dum. But, like, she's a genuine dum-dum. Like, a genuine person who just happens to be a dum-dum. And, like, that's why I think it works so well.
Yeah, that was a good scene. I liked that scene.
I barely remember that scene.
I think
I don't
you
really
just
remember
mentally
the fighting.
Checked out 2 minutes in and then just didn't want to give this movie a chance.
I remember what made this made me laugh a lot, actually, to be quite honest with you, because it was just so bizarre, but I got it. But okay, so they're at the motel, like the Motel 6. They're not in Reno yet. Charlize, whose name is Candy in this? Has she been a Candy before? I feel like she was called Candy in something.
Was she a Candy in That Thing You Do?
Was that it? But, okay, so the girls are talking. I forget if what they're doing exactly, but they're, like, talking to each other. And in the background, you see the guys wrestling or wrestling each other. And they're just wrestling each other. They're just roughhousing for no reason except just, like, maybe boredom or, like, hey, you want to wrestle? Like, sure, let's wrestle. And that's what they're doing. But I really laughed at that moment. I don't know why. I thought that was nice little, like, genuine, bizarre moment that, yeah. I bought them in there.
But they're consistent all the way through. Like, that's just who they are, that they're going to drink beers and fight with each other, go out and just swim in their pants and overeat steak and go spend money and, like, you know, gamble and dance and drink and drink and drink. And
I like Swayze. Billy Bob might have been miscast or something. Like, he looked too much. I was getting too much of, like, a devilish thing from him with his goatee.
But that's his role.
No, I know it is. I was getting too much of it, though. It was like nailing me over the head. Like, what I liked about Swayze was sort of like his bumpkinism. When he's jumping in the pool and he can't do a dive, you know, he does like a belly flop and then he does like a back flop and like all these kinds of things. They're just sort of like talking, not even about him, but they're just like looking at him while they're talking, and he's just like dumb, I guess. But I don't know. I bought him more than I bought Billy Bob. Billy Bob to me didn't feel like he was really embracing
the
idiocy of it all.
Perfect in this movie.
I like this wardrobe.
Well, he thinks Billy Bob thinks he's king of the idiots,
yes.
And finds out through talking to Swayze and realizing he's probably not that good at sex if, you know, he can't make Charlize make the noises that she makes with her husband. And then when he gets rejected by Penelope Cruz, like, he kind of realizes, oh, and also gets sick from eating the steak. He's not king of the idiots. He's just one of them.
No, he's the least powerful of the four of them. Like, all three of the other people he's with, at one point or another, hold dominion over him. Like, his wife obviously cucks him. You know, Charlize is like, hey, I'm done with you. I'm good with my husband now. And Swayze is, like, above it all. So, like, he thinks, exactly like what Holly was saying, he thinks he is the coolest, the most badass, the most likable, the best looking, all this different stuff of this group of people. And then he goes outside of his little bubble, where he's not on TV anymore, where nobody knows him, and it's suddenly like, oh, no, I'm just an idiot. I'm not a good person. All my friends, my wife, they're good people. People like them. I'm just a nothing and a nobody, and I need to reform my life. And I think that's why in the end, it kind of feels like too sudden of a happy ending, but it also makes sense to me that he then sort of lets Darlene, like, puts Darlene's name on the car dealership, and they sort of, like, co-own it now together. Because, like, it's like he knows that to keep this modicum of a life, like, this little bit of a life that he has, he needs to give an inch and not just, like, act like king shit. He needs to, like, care about people. And he learns that.
Okay.
Yeah.
You weren't into the themed wedding? You didn't want to see them get married as Dorothy and Tin Man?
No, the Dorothy and the Tin Guy. The Tin Guy.
Dorothy and the Tin Guy. She's
no,
so
but you
dumb.
Know what? It did make me think so of wanting to see Charlize in, like, Wizard of Oz somehow playing something in that. But then I remember we'll see her in Snow White. So. Yep. She'll be a witch of some kind one day.
Oh, I wanted to say, I think it was that she was Candy in the Cider House Rules. She was Candy.
That's it. So okay.
She's been Candy twice. What's also what I really like about this movie is that she is sexy in a way that is not degrading. That she's never naked. You know, she's in her underwear in the first scene, but she's got, like, a big t-shirt draping over her. She's in a towel. She's in a bathtub that's fully covered. Like, she's oozing sexuality here, especially in comparison to her friend, who obviously is gorgeous after she has her makeover, but is, like, sort of dressed down to be a little bit mousy. But Charlize is, like, beautiful in this movie in a way that, like, she never has to get naked just to, like, show boobs in a movie. You know what I mean? Like,
yes,
I think
it's
really empowering in a weird way. And, like, there are moments where, like, she's in, like, there's tender moments too, where it's sort of like kind of a sexy moment, but, like, she's in her pajamas in bed and she's got, like, her top sort of hiked up a little bit so that Patrick Swayze can lay his head and listen to their, you know, fetus. Not that he can hear anything, but, like, it's just like it's barely there. That's there. Or, like, in the beginning of the movie when they first get to the suite in Reno, when she and Darlene are dancing on the couch and she, like, pulls up her shirt and is like, hey, who do I look like? And, like, we don't know who she looks like, but it's like this inside joke. And, like, she is owning the way that she looks, and this movie is respecting her, but is still using her, like, hey, we know she's beautiful. We know that she's made both of these guys fall in love with her to some extent. She's gonna work it, but we don't have to cheapen her and, you know, exploit her to do that. We've seen her naked way too many times needlessly. And if she got naked in this, I would hold it against the movie. But here, they don't do that. And I think that's actually, like, a positive, because she is this, like, sexual being, and they don't degrade her, which is remarkable.
Yeah, she doesn't weaponize it. And in the scene in the pool, when Darlene says, oh, what are you, 98 pounds wet? She's like, but you're pretty too. Like, look at you. You just cover it up with sweaters. So she's like, hey, girl, I'm cute, but so are you. And I like that she doesn't, it's something she is, but it's not a core part of her personality. Her personality is quirky.
Yeah, it's not her only defining character trait, as it would have been in, you know, so many movies we've seen her in, unfortunately, you know. And I applaud this film for that, definitely, absolutely. Yeah, like you said, Joey, if she got naked in this movie, I would have been so pissed off. Like, and that might sound weird that I did not want to see her naked in this, but there were like two or three moments where I was like, oh shit, like they're gonna go there, and I actually, you know, have to say, give it a lot of credit for not needing to do that whatsoever, and for finding all these other ways, like, to show that sexuality isn't just nudity. Other movies that are way, 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 way better than this can't do that. So, another half a star.
Look at that. Up to 2.5. Or up to 2. Not 2. I'm sorry.
But it's all, like, merit. It has nothing to do with, like, story or anything else. Like,
these sliding doors realities. Apparently, at one point, Brad Pitt and Jennifer Aniston were set to star in this movie. I don't know what role.
Oh, what?
I'm assuming maybe... I mean, I would love to see Brad Pitt in that Billy Bob Thornton role. Holy shit, would he be good in that?
Yeah, that he would. They would have probably been that couple.
No, I think she would have been the Charlize role,
You think so? I think she would have been... No, because she's not usually... Aniston doesn't usually play like that mousy-ish type. I think maybe she would have stretched and tried to do that, like, against type thing. And then at the end, be like, look, I'm ravishing, like I'm Friends. And
maybe. The other thing was that when this was being cast in 1997, so I guess it sort of got delayed for a while for some reason, Mary Steenburgen, Barbara Hershey, Powers Booth, and Laura Dern read for parts in this movie. So Laura Dern, I feel like, would have been that Charlize role, probably. I don't
Powers
think she
Booth,
would have been
definitely role. Billy Bob, I think. Right?
Absolutely. And there's one other thing. So in the opening scene, and I don't know if we're supposed to take Charlize at her word, that when Darlene asks her, how many times have you slept with my husband? She says 2. I feel like that might be genuine. Like, I feel like this hasn't been an ongoing thing.
I think it's just two.
And so I think in the beginning of the movie, after they do the dirty current, the do the dirty corn off screen, then he showers, and she's like furious at him, and she's like, why do you always shower? Do I make you feel gross? And it's like, well, no, I mean, like, he's having an affair, like, I guess he's trying to clean himself up and, like, go back to work and not be like, hey, where were you? In that scene, she's, like, throwing things at the wall and, like, breaking all this different shit, and apparently there's a deleted scene where Charlize is listening to a Reba McEntire song, which, throughout this entire movie, she listens to so much country music. They sing along so much music in this movie. I love the soundtrack in this movie. I think it's great. But anyway, in this deleted scene, they're listening to Reba. Billy Bob walks out of the bathroom and makes fun of Reba. Charlize throws a picture frame at her and says, quote, don't make fun of Reba, you motherfucker. And then that's like the end of the scene or whatever. But then in the movie, there was a broken picture frame that, like, they saw because Patrick Swayze asks her about it. And she says that it was the cat had too much catnip and the cat broke the frame. But I love this, like, deleted scene of, like, this feisty Charlize. I feel like if she is at her word, and it's only been 2 times, that she's already so angry at him for doing this and angry at herself for, you know, ruining possibly a marriage and a relationship, like a friendship, that, like, she's just throwing things. I just love that, like, it feels real. Like, it feels, like, remorseful and angry and just, like, genuine.
Well, yeah, you have to be really mad to throw not only a picture frame in your house and then a beer bottle, because that is so much glass to just vacuum. Like, I've been so mad that I've considered smashing something, but I was like, no, it will take me, like, days to get all this glass up. Absolutely not. So she's emotional. And again, that's, like, her character. You see it all throughout the film. So from the first time we see her to, like, one of the last times we see her, she's just up and down. When she's happy, she's happy. When she's mad, she's mad. Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, and I don't think that her character is a liar either. You know, like, she may be keeping this secret, but, like, you know, I was saying earlier, she's terrible at keeping secrets. She's trying to get caught at some point in this movie, you know? Like, she wants her friend to know the truth and everything, and it's killing her to keep it. So, in that regard, yeah, I don't think that she slept with Billy Bob more than twice, and who knows, maybe those 2 times were in that, right before that scene, You know what I'm saying? Like, they didn't necessarily need to be two separate days, like weeks apart. They could have done it twice in one day, like in that room.
My only other note is that there's the it's just like a dumb plot hole, I think, just to get this one funny shot. But like, when they get to Reno, they have these two massive adjoining suites. Like, they spend all the money on this, but on the way there, they're at that like motel, and for some reason they like just share one room, and I don't know why. Like, they obviously have money, but I think it's just for the fact that like they're four in a row side by side in bed. Like, they don't do anything with it. It's just like, I think Patrick Swayze like farts, and like there's like a fart joke there, which is kind of dumb and whatever, but like, it's just, it's this weird camera shot of the four of them just side by side, like just their heads poking over the blanket. I'm like, this is weird. Like, it's a dumb plot hole, but like, it's kind of an amusing shot. I don't know.
That recalled to me this movie, Bob and Carol and Ted and Alice, I think is the name of it. And it's a Murzowski film, who was in, was the guy who looks like Tommy Wiseau in 2 Days in the Valley. So like, it's a movie that he directed back then. And in that, these two couples have an affair, and that's like a very famous shot, is like after they, or right as they're about to have sex with each other, they're like sitting there in bed with their foreheads poking out of the sheets. I don't think by any means it's an homage to that or anything, but that came to my mind, was just thinking like, oh, maybe this is supposed to be like, are they gonna like all start making out with each other? No, they're just gonna go to bed.
Holly, do you have any other notes about waking up in Reno before we get onto our game that we're gonna play?
No, I do not regret paying the $2.99 on Amazon to rent.
I think it was $1.99 for standard definition. You could have.
I treated myself to HD.
Gotta go that extra dollar.
I don't know why.
I think that there's some scenes in this movie that look really nice. Like toward the end, after
Truckosaurus looks
fight,
awesome.
Truckosaurus like looks great. Robosaurus. I'm sorry, Robosaurus.
Oh, sorry, Robosaurus.
After they have their big
fight. Didn't mean to
fight,
hurt your Robo heart.
After they have their big fight and they, you know, have the fight upstairs that spills out downstairs, and they sort of, to some extent, make up, and the boys are sleeping in one bed and the girls are sleeping in the other bed. Charlize and Darlene are side by side in bed, and they're just like bathed in this neon light from the strip, from the Reno strip. And I'm like, this is like a beautiful shot. And like, they just sort of talk it out a little bit there. You know, they don't like Charlize doesn't really apologize, but like, there's something so deep and real and long standing about their relationship. They sort of talk it out. All is not forgiven, but like, they still sort of cuddle up with each other. Like, they're still like, we're going to get through this. I'm mad at you, but like, this is not the end of things. And I think like, number one, that scene looks great because the neon light just like on their faces looks cool. But it's also like this like really cool, things are going to be okay moment that the guys don't have, because the guys aren't really, they're more stand-ins for something. Like, this is really a movie about these two women, and it's great.
Yeah, the guys aren't going to really talk about their feelings because they're guys, I feel. We're not going to get like that kind of like nice closure or cinematography to reflect their emotional sort of like journey or anything like that. Like, they're just going to be crushing beers. This movie is just going to show them doing that as far as bonding, if anything, which they don't, right? After they leave that motel room, or as they wake up in the morning and they get like a note to meet at the, finally, at the monster truck rally, the last scene of the movie. Like, this movie is the biggest red herring. Hey, want to go see a movie about these two couples on their way to a monster truck rally? They're never going to get there until the very last shot of the movie, so it's not going to be about hijinks, you know, maybe being mistaken for a stunt driver, or, you know, Billy Bob isn't going to be operating the Robosaurus at the end of the movie or anything like that. But
yeah, but no. Why would you think either of those things would happen? Like, how is that?
Because
this
the
movie?
Whole premise of the movie is we're going to the monster truck rally. I thought we'd get there with like at least a half an hour to spare or something. I quickly realized within like 20 minutes that was not going to happen, though, that this was going to be some sort of like relationship comedy thing going on here, which I just had could not course correct at all. Like, within 10 minutes, I just lost control of the car I was watching this from, and it just never recovered.
I do really like how where they get to in the end, though, because, like, we set up in the beginning that Billy Bob loves this car. He's pointing out all the upgrades and the beautiful parts to Swayze. He's like, look at this, look at the leather, look at this, look at that. You know, it's sort of sullied a little bit when, you know, they have sex in the back seat and Billy Bob says, like, well, there goes that new car smell or whatever. But then we know that he loves this car, that this was like his beauty, his gem, his prize. Then we have the falling out, and his wife is like, hey, what can I do that's going to hurt him more than anything else in this moment? Let me ruin this car. And so she does, and I think that it's not like a total red herring in that we never get to the car show, because we do. we get there in a wonderful way because it actually means more now than it would have otherwise. Like, if we just get there, we just see, like, Robosaurus just, like, crush random cars, what kind of ending is that? But for Robosaurus to have a reason to crush his car, like, that's great.
Yeah, we still could have arrived at the same catharsis that we're crushing Billy Bob's car, you know, to get back at him or whatever, to feel better, you know, and all this. It could have still had the same meaning behind it if these hijinks, you know, just happened at the truck show or something like that, at the monster truck rally. That's fine. Like, I don't know. Like, I'm okay. Like, I just wish we were spending more time here at the end at the monster truck show. That's all. Like, the movie promised it. And I feel like, you know, when it delivered, it's just like, what, it's such like a tease, because, like, we get it, but, like, we're not going to do anything there. Like, we're just going to, it's just the end of the movie. It's just the gag. It's, again, it's like the punchline of the whole movie, which is fine. It's a good punchline and everything. We finally do get there. I'm glad, you know, it's better than nothing. I actually kind of like the commercial. She's really good in that commercial. Like, she's going to be taking over that dealership away from Billy Bob in no time. Like, I don't know, you know, like, he put her on TV, he's gonna lose his fame. She's definitely taken over, like, as far as recognition.
I think they made her look a little too different at the end in that commercial. I mean, that's a really petty
criticism. Well, it's the first time or the second time she's, like, not wearing overalls.
I think they dyed her hair brown, too. Like, it looked darker than blonde. She looked just too different. Like, I liked when she came back from the Tony Orlando show, like, she had the makeover. But in that commercial, I was like, oh, no, girl, now you're too different. Still be yourself, just a more confident version of yourself.
Maybe it was the hat. She hadn't been wearing a hat the entire movie either. And yeah. She got that cowboy hat on.
Well, I love this movie. That's all I gotta say. That's my last note. I love this movie. I'm glad, Holly, that you like this too. If I had to fight both of you here, whew, that would have been difficult. But Holly and my team, 2-1, proves undoubtedly that we are right. That this is a good movie. Not a good movie. This is a fun movie. I think a movie worth seeing. I've never once said that this is a good movie. I think
no, I know. And I didn't say that you ever did. And I, you know, and I'm glad you never did.
Remarkably great elements in here. That the fact that we have been lamenting for 5 months now that we've had no strong female characters in Charlie's movies, to have two of the strongest, if not the two strongest, in any movie in this dumb comedy, like, that is remarkable to me. Like, I am blown away by this relationship. And I don't think I'm overhyping it. Like, it is the through line. Like, it's the reason this movie works, I think, because, like, the characters, dumb as they may be, care about each other. At least these two women, they care about each other. And there's something special there.
And I just wish their relationship was in a different movie, I guess. I don't just wish what was surrounding them was better. And that's all. Wish I could enjoy it on the level you did, Joey. Genuinely, I know, like, this is probably the most hostile I've been on any episode of Cage Club, and, like, upset or closed off or whatever. But, yeah, I don't know. It's just how I felt this time. That's all I can say.
Well, because you had messaged me after you watched this, and you said, it's not good, but it's crazy. And I was like, okay. So I'm not expecting a good movie, but I'm expecting it to be sort of wacky. And then I looked at your review, and I was like, oh, God. Like, one star. Like, oh, man. Like, this is not what I was expecting at all. Like, I thought you were going to say something like, you know, didn't love it, didn't think it was good, obviously, but there was fun stuff. I like this, I like that. You're just like,
Looking glass.
Billy Bob's outfit, and I like Robosaurus, and that's all you got. And I was like, oh, God, like, this is brutal. But I'm glad that we were able to turn that one-star review into a near masterpiece score of 4.5 stars.
Not true.
I mean, I don't know how you can think this movie is going to be anything other than it is when the tagline is, this foursome is sharing lots more than room service.
Yeah, and I guess, yeah, I just don't.
Joey, this is coming from a man who likes The Bad Batch, so let's, you know.
I know.
Ooh, ouch. Still my favorite movie of 2017.
Holly has had a real rough streak of being on our podcast. I do truly think, Holly, that the next time you're on this podcast, it's a movie that we specially picked for you that, yes, I truly think you are going to adore. So yes, we have been baiting you along. We're going to pull the old, you know, AC-DC, just, you know, trying to, like, confuse you, mislead you, misdirect you. Again, this is a movie that I had never heard of before this podcast, so I had no idea what we were in for here.
I hear some major misdirection for her next episode. I liked the movie, so I don't know what you're going to do with that information.
Oh, yes, that's true.
Oh, man, could we all end up liking the same movie? Your viewers will have to keep listening to find out.
A shocking turn of events. That movie, we will not say what it is, but that movie will be in 23 weeks. So come back on September 14th for Holly's episode. Blank, 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 blank. Whatever. I don't know how many blanks there are, but 4 blanks. 5 blanks. blank, 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 blank. Five-word title. There we go. Okay, game segment. Holly, we play a game on here. We're wrapping this up next episode. We play the pitch a sequel game. I feel like, because, Mike, we did 10 for the first one. We did 10 for the second one. We just got to figure out a game for the third 10. And then we got a fourth 10. And then we're sort of with Gringo. Gringo coming out. By the time this is out, Gringo will be out. So go see Gringo and Tully out later this year. Keanu, nowhere to be found making movies. But Charlie's got a couple out coming out this year. So good on
and
you,
and Cage. Cage, course, he had far one a month. Unbelievable. Except the one this month has been released in virtual reality.
Yep.
So you got to go into the VR world to check out that
go one. Go on Oculus to see the Humanity Bureau. But anyway, pitch a sequel game. Holly, you're going to go first. You are the guest, so you're going to go first. Actually, hold on. So here, before we do this, Mike, should we all collectively pitch a sequel like we did last time for Trapped?
I don't know. That was a little tough. Why don't we let her pick her genre?
Okay, Holly, I'm going to put in the chat, if you can see the chat, these are the different genres that you could do. Straight to DVD, indie darling, Oscar bait, Hollywood blockbuster, gritty reboot, horror or slasher, sci-fi, sports movie, or musical slash competition. If you had to pitch a sequel to Waking Up in Reno, Waking Up in Reno Another Day, what kind of movie would you want to pitch this as?
Like, what do I think would work best, or what
however
would
you
I want
to answer the question. There's no wrong answers.
I mean, I think if this ever had a sequel, it would be most successful as a straight-to-DVD.
Okay.
I would really love to see this as a horror slasher film. Although, would I? I don't know. Because I liked it as it is. Oh, geez, these are good choices. This is difficult.
So here's the thing. We've never given a guest the choice before. We're ever tweaking the game. So pick a genre and then sort of lay out. So this is not a remake. This is a sequel.
Yeah.
So whatever you think Waking Up in Reno 2 will be. So this movie ends. We're back in the town wherever they are. Charlize and Swayze have three kids. The two other guys are the, you know,
that are
Billy
all
Bob
Swayzes, by the way.
They're all Swayzes. Billy Bob and Darlene co-own the dealership. So we're Waking Up in Reno 2. What genre do you want to do this? And we're going to do it collectively. We're going to try this one more time. Pick a genre that you think the second one should be.
All right. I think what would be most successful for the second one would be a Hollywood blockbuster.
Okay, cool. Hmm. So they're like, this movie that made $200,000 at the box office, we are going to throw $100 million at it for the sequel that everybody's been clamoring for. So here's how we start this off. So a new couple moves to town, Brad Pitt and Jennifer Aniston. All right? So we have them. We got these Hollywood A-listers. They're in town, in the little town in wherever they are, in Alabama or Arkansas or whatever. What happens when they move in?
Okay, so wait, is everybody back from... Everyone's back from the
everybody's
first
back,
movie, though.
We got unlimited
so
budget.
All right,
everybody's
so let's run down this. This is one hell of a cast.
We brought Swayze back from
the
dead. We have that kind of money.
Brad Pitt's in this movie, so I think it should be something along the lines of maybe she's his sister, and her and Brad Pitt have come to town, and they're the new neighbors, and something's kind of off about sis. He can't quite place his finger on it, but she's not telling the whole truth about something. Should I pass it off yet, or do you want me to keep going?
Keep going. Go a little bit further.
So wait, it's set in this year?
Sure. We could have it set this year, right? I mean, or is this
is
in 2005?
Right,
it's your call, Holly.
Okay, well, I know I had a totally different idea.
Okay,
so
what's your idea?
That's why. Well, if it was a Hollywood blockbuster, my idea is that it takes place like 20 years later, and the three Swayze kids are grown up, and they're going to go on a road trip of their own for like some kind of self-discovery.
Oh, okay. Like this.
They talked to, you know, the mom and dad and then the neighbors, and they said, oh, we actually had like a really good time in Reno.
Ah.
And they trek back to Reno and maybe kind of revisit the same things, whether it's, maybe they're teenagers in this film, right? Their kids go and like they drive out there and do something, but it would be cool to watch like the kids years later, like also do like a road trip of just like random things you do in the South, I guess.
Waking Up in Reno 2, the next batch, the new batch.
Ooh.
Just like the Bad Batch. So, Holly, who are playing the kids? Is it two guys and a girl or two girls and a guy?
They have three boys, right?
Oh, three boys? The first
but they don't have to be
sure.
The only ones on the trip, right?
Yeah, maybe. Oh, maybe that's it. They have three boys. How about this? A Brady Bunch situation. Billy Bob and Darlene have three girls, and the six of them go on a road trip. Does that work for you, Holly?
Yeah, I'm into it.
Cool. So we've got six parts to cast. Three boys, three girls, teenager age. Thinking right off the bat, we gotta have Tom Holland in there. Number one, Spider-Man himself. Number two, we gotta have Anya Taylor-Joy from The Witch, from upcoming or now past out now Thoroughbreds. They're gonna be, I think they're sort of the leads-ish. I feel like maybe, how do we feel about, like, the three boys from the family all being in relationships with the three girls from the other family? We okay with that, or is that sort of weird?
I think it's too...
Maybe over the course of the movie, some of them hook up? I got a question. How do you feel? Okay, so Swayze's character, what if he actually has passed away, and now we have Stepdad, played by Russell Crowe?
Oh, what about Ghost Dad, played by Bill Cosby?
Oh, no. No, no, no. But I like Russell Crowe in there somewhere, speaking Australian.
I do like that idea of the six of them going to Reno, sort of recapturing.
Oh, hold on.
Yeah.
If this is going to be, like, years and years later, we also have, you know, Natasha Richardson. She, unfortunately, has passed away in real life as well.
So really?
Maybe, didn't she pass away? She was in, like, a ski accident.
Yeah, if it was Liam Neeson's wife, then it was a ski accident.
Yeah.
Yeah, she died in 2009. Wow, okay. Head injury after a skiing accident. Wow.
Yeah, like not immediately after either. Like, she went home, felt fine, and I don't think she ever woke up or something. But, you know, in the movie, you could finally have Charlize and Billy Bob get together. Their spouses have passed away, and so, like, they didn't want to, you know, they figured, why not get together to carry... It's just, I don't know, I feel like it's something stupid people might do. I don't know.
Sure. I like it. So that works.
Oh, well, when we get to Reno, are they going to get into, like, some hijinks here? Like... try and stop, like, a casino heist, or there's an earthquake, or where's the real blockbuster edge?
So it's either Ocean's 11 or Ocean's 13?
Or, like, San Andreas or something, I don't know.
I was just thinking of The Seismologist with Brad Pitt, 13. Yeah, Holly, what happens when they do get to Reno?
They are going to scatter their dad's ashes at the Truckosaurus.
Yes.
Love it.
A monster truck show. They either can't find the venue or they keep getting delayed maybe on their way there and they have to get there in time.
Oh, and I have another idea. So, okay, so their parents both want to be buried or, you know, whatever with the right people. So they want to go to Robosaurus or Patrick Swayze. But for Natasha Richardson, her one true love, they have
Tony
to track
Orlando?
Down and find Tony Orlando. And he's like, I remember that pretty woman. She was sitting alone. I sang to her. She was right there. And they sprinkle a little bit of her dust there. They give the rest to him. And then, you know, who knows what happens with it there. But I like that idea a lot, Holly, that, like, this is the special weekend. This is the weekend that affirmed that, you know, he became a father on this weekend, affirmed that he was in love with his wife, unfortunately passed on, but very special indeed.
And if he was dumb, he would, of course, want his ashes scattered with the Truckosaurus, because that just fits with the character.
Absolutely.
Like, yeah,
you know,
I
and
love
you could
that
be like,
bit.
Dad really wanted his ashes. Yes, like, absolutely. And it can't be with Gravedigger. You have to find the Truckosaurus. I mean, maybe that's it. They have to find where the Truckosaurus has been, like, relocated to in the U.S.
There you go. Yeah, they could, like, get there in the first, like, 15 minutes and then realize they're in the wrong place that it's, like, it's moved. And then they got to, like, country hop or state hop from state to state and then try and find it.
And the DVD cover would have, like, waking up in Reno and that would be scratched out, and then, like, Las Vegas and that would be scratched out, Portland and that would be, like, just question, like, where are they going all over the United States?
Oh my God.
And it's just a journey about road tripping and the weird things you do and find and see along the way.
I love it.
Could it possibly be titled Waking Up In... ...
Generation
Is that invoke too many bad memories? Not that a sequel to this movie is going to invoke good memories for me.
I don't know. I just Googled Tony Orlando to make sure he is alive, and he is. And the most recent tweet went out 12:01 a.m. last night on March 7th. We're recording this on March 7th. The tweet says, this is such a great tweet. The Instagram account official Tony Orlando _ is not, in all capital letters, N-O-T, my Instagram account. The only Instagram account that is really me is at official Tony Orlando. Very close names and very confusing. My real one has no _. Please block and report. So Tony Orlando, fighting his own battles, but we're going to recast him in our sequel.
I'm just glad that he's out there on social media at his age. That's great, getting the word out.
Okay, so the last thing that we're going to do is nominate this for awards, and I cannot wait to heap accolades on this. First off, best female non-Charlize actress/role, Natasha Richardson.
Yes.
Agreed. As Darlene.
Yes.
Waking up in Reno. I think both actors, like, I know you hate Billy Bob in this or think he's miscast. I don't think, I think they're both good, but I don't think either of them are good enough to be nominated for best. I'm okay leaving that off.
No. They're not even bad enough to be nominated for worst. Like, that's another problem. Like, they're just, I mean, I like Swayze more, but it's, to me, Billy Bob just seems to be, like, sleeping through this movie.
I'm gonna say best dance scene, dancing on the couch with Natasha Richardson in
Do we have a best dance scene?
You do now.
She was pregnant dancing and eating in The Astronaut's Wife when Johnny Depp comes back home and gets real mad at her.
Okay.
In one of the many times in that movie.
He's always mad at her in that movie. I don't understand. She's like a vital part of his plan. And he like hates her. It makes no sense.
She has one line, "Don't do that, you almost made me piss on the rug." I like that. Oh,
doesn't she like take a leak on the side of the road too at one point? And then there's a shot of her like pissing on the side of the road. And then later in the movie, Billy Bob says something about not being able to stop to go to the bathroom because it's not part of like the routine or the schedule. I was so confused. Okay, proceed.
Oh, another line. This is not Charlize's line. Another line I really liked in this movie is Billy Bob's like, "I got it. I know how to fix everything. Darlene and Roy got to sleep together. It's like a dealer trade-in." And like, I like that he's so dumb that he's just like, "I can fix this with a car dealership metaphor. Dealer trade-in, you guys bang, everything's going to be fixed." And everybody's like, "No, that's a terrible idea." Again, proving that he has no power. So, okay, so it's one of two lines. Either "don't do that, you almost made me piss on the rug," which based on Holly's laughter, I think might be it. Or...
the shoe rent one?
No, because that wasn't her line. Maybe wine coolers got me all emotional. But I think I'm going to do "don't do that, you almost made me piss on the rug."
It's just so uncouth. Like, it's so... she's so sexy. And then it's just, like, that kind of, like, dialogue from her. You're just like, oh, girl, you are just... you're Southern.
I actually... dude, you're not going to believe this. I wrote down a line. It's not a Charlize line, though. It was a Billy Bob line. He says at one point, "she's on her deal, you know."
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
"She's on her deal."
Oh, you know, actually, one thing that we didn't talk about, again, heaping praise on this relationship, that when after the shit hits the fan and they get into the really big fight, Charlize is talking to Darlene, and she's talking about, like, how much she has going in her life. And she's, like, getting really emotional, and she's, like, genuinely jealous of everything that she has. Like, you know, Charlize's life's not terrible, but, like, Darlene has so much going for her. And I thought that was, like, a really nice speech. Or, okay, so then I just said the next thing in my line, the next thing in my notes was, "I'm with child, you idiot." Which I think I might nominate that line, too, because I love that line, too. Best fight, I'm just going to throw it in here. It's not going to win, I don't think, but...
Wait, best fight as in when they're wrestling each other on the beds, or when they're actually
fighting? No, when they're actually fighting, like, when they spilled down onto the lobby.
Oh, you know what they set up that never paid off? They were following, like, a roadmap that it was some kind of, like, I don't know. I felt like they were going to lose the map at some point, and they never lost the
map. Yeah, the AAA triptych.
Yeah.
Oh, the triptych. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That never came back. But we don't have, like, a worse setup category, so never mind.
The doctor's advice, just eat a bunch of meat tenderizer and drink water. This movie had a lot of great, like, just dumb, quippable lines.
I'm going to nominate this for, just because of what we've been saying, best Charlize role, Candy Kirkendall, Waking Up in Reno. The only reason is because we're halfway through almost. We only have one other thing nominated. It's Marianne Lomax, Devil's Advocate.
We could probably figure out another role since then.
What other roles of hers have been really, really good? Tell me that.
All right.
Trapped,
take me back.
No. Curse of Jade Scorpion, no. 15 nope. Minutes, no. Sweet November, not really. I mean, I guess we could. Nah. Bagger Vance, she's not in it enough. Men of Honor, not in it enough. The Yards, she's fine. Reindeer Games, no. Cedar House Rules, no. Astronaut's Wife, no. Mighty Joe Young, not really.
Maybe.
It's
I would
borderline.
Give, if we had to, I mean, if we need to flesh
out the
category.
We're going to have other stuff, I think. We're gonna come up with
it. I don't. I like Mighty Joe. I like her. I think her and Mighty Joe, I don't know. I
Celebrity,
and,
no. Devil's Advocate, we have already. Trial and Error, no. Hollywood Confidential, no. That Thing You Do, no. 2 Days in the Valley, no. Children of the Corn, 3, no. So, I mean, it's...
You know, the time is ripe for Mighty Joe Young, too. We're getting, like, Rampage. All these big monster movies are coming back in vogue. I think she should come back and do Joe 2.
I am
what
not.
I did there? Joe
I am
2?
Joe 2. Shout out Joe 2. I am not going to nominate this for Best of the Worst because I think it's a better movie than the other movies that we have in here. Like,
no,
Wife,
it's just,
Children
it's
of the
just,
Corn,
the,
and
it's
Sweet
just
November.
The worst.
It's not. It's not.
This is something that if it came on at like 1 a.m. when you couldn't sleep, I would say definitely watch this movie.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, it'll put you to sleep.
No, like, if it's, like, 1 o'clock and you, like, can't sleep, and you're like, oh, all right, I'm going to see what's on TV, and this came on, I'd be like, yeah, keep watching it.
I would be like, oh, bedtime. No.
Considering what its Rotten Tomato score is, this movie, like, had me psyched out to be bad, and I was like, oh, I love this. Like, I was expecting bad, because we've had so many bad movies in a row, I was expecting a nothing, and I got this, like, charming, wacky, weird movie full of dum-dums who care about each other.
Yeah, I also came in with zero expectations and was pleasantly surprised. Mike, did you come in with expectations at all?
Actually, no. No. I had no expectations, and I left with no expectations either, I guess.
This movie opened on October 25th, 2002... It was
Happy Halloween.
197 screens. So it's on a bunch of screens. Oh, it only made $100,000. It also opened the same weekend as Jackass the Movie, the first one. So was number one.
See, yeah, I was probably watching Jackass back then. I would definitely watch this before Jackass now, though. That's how much I've changed. To put this in perspective now, Jesus, I just got like one of those like waves of perspective. Holy Christ.
Thank you so much, Holly, for being on here. Thank you for being my wingman in heaping praise on this movie. That's so...
She
so
didn't...
Deserved.
You were definitely heaping praise.
No, Holly...
She liked it a lot.
Holly was my hype crew. She backed me up every step of the way.
Much like Charlize, you will know my emotions. So as where I told you very clearly, I hated Looking Glass and Bad Batch. I liked this. I would... if it was on... And I was, like, at my family's house, and it came on TV. I would not change the channel. But I would also, not be like, I'm not going to go to work tomorrow and be like, hey, guys, you know what everybody has to watch? The 2002 hit, Waking Up in Reno.
Hit?
Charlize wasn't a hit. Does go through every emotion in this movie and wears them all on her face.
She's a great actor.
One thing that past and future Charlize, our Watch the Throne guest, Jordan Paul and Clark, and I talk about... One thing that she coined when we were co-workers for a couple months was she said to me one day, I'm really Paul Rudding it today. And I was like, what do you mean? And she sent me that scene from Wet Hot American Summer.
Oh, yeah, when he's picking up the tray.
He lips the tray and then, like, has to clean it up. And it's just, like, the most lackadaisical, just, like, whatever effort. Like, I don't want to do this, blah. Like, just, like, going through the motions but not into it at all. There's a scene in this movie where Charlize is, like, on her bed and basically Paul Rudding on the bed. Like, she is overreacting in an emotional way so extremely that I was like, this is wonderful. Like, it's this physical level of comedy in this. Not from start to finish, but at certain scenes that I don't think that she's gotten to flex that muscle yet. And I think that, like, this movie, even if you hate it, shows that she can be the special type of comedic actress and carry it both in, like, a character-based way, but also in a physical way. So I think it's, like, a real, true showcase of her acting abilities. As crazy as that seems, I can totally see why she's about to win an Oscar in 2 movies because of this movie right here. I'm just kidding. But I do think she's really, really, really great in this movie.
Yeah, I think she's a great actor. I think she really hits some really high notes in this movie. I don't know. Again, it just wasn't my brand of humor, so I didn't especially find her...
But it's not mine either. Like, I don't know...
I didn't find her especially funny, per se, but she's... good in this movie. Like, that's she is not a strike against this. Like, you know what I'm saying? For all the problems of this movie that it has, she is not one of them by any means.
I love that scene when she's in the bed in the pajama pants with him. Like, they're both people that fucked up and they're still hanging out in the bed, and she's just like, oh, my husband's out banging like a hooker, but I also can't stop him because I kind of owe it to him.
Yep.
So she's just kind of, like, thrashing around, kind of like how a little kid would throw a tantrum over, like, apples are red and can't be blue, and would just kind of have, like, a mental breakdown over that.
Yep.
Like, that's what she's doing. And it's a very human moment, I guess. I liked it.
I did, too. But thank you, Holly, for being on here and saying things so eloquently.
All I'm saying is I just didn't laugh at the moment. That's all.
I think you were in a weird headspace. I think you didn't want to give this movie a fair shake.
No, that's not true.
There were so many moments that we loved. I mean,
I tried to come back, too. I was even like, this movie has lost me, but I'm sticking with it, not just because I have to, but because, I believe in giving it a shot to the end. And I'm just, what can I say? Just didn't didn't do it for me this time.
Well, Joey and I both watched this movie on a Wednesday, on a snow day. So, listeners, save this for Wednesday when it's snowy.
Yeah, maybe.
It might help shape your perception because you literally can't go out and do anything else because there's a blizzard.
When you got a little bit of cabin fever, wake up in Reno. For all things Watch the Throne, including Holly's next episode on September 14th, and all the other shows on the Cage Club Podcast Network, you can go to cageclub.me, facebook.com/cageclub, or at cageclubpod on Twitter. Sneak peek, if you like Holly on this episode, at some point, we don't know when, at some point we're going to have Holly on the Cinemakers Podcast. And the first director we're going to talk about with her, whenever this happens, don't know when this is going to be, we're going to go through Sofia Coppola's movies, Domino herself. So if you like Holly on this, come back eventually for Cinemakers. We've covered all of Steven Soderbergh's movies by this point, or just about. They might not be all be out, but they're just about there at the end. So go check out Cinemakers and wait for Holly to join us to cover Sofia Coppola's like 8-ish movies, something like that. Come back for that. CageClub.me, Facebook.com/CageClub, at CageClubPod on Twitter. I'm Joey Lewandowski.
And I'm Mike Manzi.
And that was Holly Gore. And we'll see you next time on Watch the Throne.
You gotta help me out. It's all a blur.